Well, I've come to the conclusion, or call it a decision, whether or not it's true. I've decided that a wound is an artificial way to accelerate a process that would have happened anyway had we been more patient to wait for it to take longer. So in other words, most wounds that happen in life, we don't plan on them, right? They're just accidents or whatever. Bad luck, bad choices, risky choices. But there are things we want to get out of the way so that we can get on with our life. Regeneration without the appearance of a wound takes patience, and that's normally what foreskin restoration involves anyway. My problem has not been a lack of patience. My problem has been the frustration of injury. The fact that my skin is old, I have the skin of a 68-year-old, even though I'm 58 years old, and so consequently, my skin doesn't want to be tugged. It's going to want to form blisters. It's going to want to get red upon tugging. It doesn't want to grow. So I may be looking at the possibility that I am incapable of regenerating a foreskin in any short period of time, regardless of what method I could possibly use. So what I have to do is treat the whole body, because that's where the problem lies. Not in my penis. My penis is not the problem. I got bigger problems. Due to the antifreeze poisoning, basically, and also age, but the two of them together, making matters worse than they already are. And so by focusing, or starting with, initially, the problem of trying to cope with and solving the challenge of how to restore a foreskin, what I find is that I got a bigger problem making matters complicated, and I have to solve that one first before I even think about restoring a foreskin. And so there's nothing wrong with the approach that I'm taking currently in trying to treat the whole body, to regenerate the whole body, because that's the problem I have. Now, consequently, what that's doing is it's changing my approach in thinking about how to regenerate a foreskin. And that is that all I could possibly hope for in inducing a wound is accelerating what may be difficult to accelerate in the first place, I suppose, is one way to put it. You know, it would force my body to focus on growing a foreskin, or growing skin, let's put it that way. And since I have a life, a day, a daily routine that's filled with lots of things that I have to do, and a foreskin is not the only thing to do, I'm in a dilemma in which really my time is precious, is what it amounts to, and I can't divide my time, or I can't focus my time on just that one thing alone. So, for instance, just to give you an example, I have this setup in my bed now that, you know, I've already described and shown to you, in which I hook up my penis to a circuit and I hook up my legs. And it's given me so much peace of mind because it's basically helped to eliminate pathogens from my body, because it uses, at the very least, the technology that Colley and Lyman had discovered. Namely, a weak DC current will kill, or at the very least, it'll weaken pathogens and make it easier for the body to get rid of them. And because the blood, the tissues, of the fluids of the legs are being purified, and of course the circulation is moving that around, and so that helps the whole body. So it's relieved me of a lot of pathogens, which has relieved my immune system of a huge burden, which I've had all my life. Ever since I was born, I've had a weak immune system and a weak digestive system. So at the very least, see, I have so many problems that I'm solving that are pervasive across the entire body that have nothing to do with the penis, yet the penis did serve as a way for me to attack these other problems and solve them. And I never would have solved them otherwise. So I can give my penis credit where credit is due. The fact that I was circumcised turns out to be a motivating factor to solve my other problems that are far worse than not having a foreskin. So everything is in perspective. And so growing a foreskin is the least of my problems. But it has been the most of my motivation to solve my bigger problems. So eventually, what I can guess at is that eventually I will solve that problem. It's not for lack of technique, because I've got the techniques now. It could only be a lack of focus and a lack of patience, or both. Well, patience, I have lots of time. I have the rest of my life, right? Focus, I can't do anything about that. I got other priorities. So I'm treating the whole body, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I can't focus on the penis. So the amount of time I spend in bed, sleeping at night, with my penis and my legs hooked up to my base circuit, my basic circuit, is sufficient for now. That's all I can devote my time to in terms of trying to see if I can restore a foreskin. So all of you out there waiting for me to come up with a solution that will satisfy you, I can't satisfy you. I'm just too busy with other things. But I am taking care of other problems that I had that you probably don't have. So at least I'm helping myself, and that's what we're here for, right? We have to take responsibility for ourselves, because who else is going to? And here I am solving problems I had no idea I would be able to solve in the first place. Because I had bought electrical pulsing zapper devices, and I didn't like them. And I can see why. Robert Urbecker said, you're running the risk of cancer. Well, cancer is a disturbance of the stem cells, and so if I'm running zappers that are disturbing, they're disturbing in general, cancer or no cancer. So what I'm finding in dealing with the circuit, this leg penis circuit, is that I eat better. I eat in a more intelligent fashion. Not only do I not eat sweets, but I don't complicate my meals with a lot of different things that are difficult to digest. Because I have a weak digestive system, I can't afford to eat a complicated big meal. I have to snack, and I have to focus on one food group when I snack. So if I want to eat cheese, I eat cheese all by itself, and it's a snack. And an hour or two later, I'll eat maybe some toast with some nut butter on it. And that's it. And, you know, if I want to eat some vegetables, I'll eat some vegetables. So I've divided up my meals now into all these little snacks, separating the food groups so that I can digest my food. And I couldn't have done that without the progress that I've made applying Robert Urbecker's technology in a Leon Ernest Eamon fashion to my legs and penis, along with the earthing enhancing device hooked up to a different area of the body to ground my body separate from that circuit. I couldn't have eaten so intelligently, such that my digestion is more improved, my stomach is shrunk because I don't have to stuff myself at a meal. I just eat what I need and I don't eat any more than that. And I've given up sweets. And you know, I was addicted to sugar. And it's no small wonder, because I was eating too much at a meal, thinking I needed sugar to stimulate my interest in eating big meals, complicated meals, which weren't doing me any bit of good. So I'm seeing all these improvements, all because of the motivation to fix a circumcision, which I have yet to fix. So I bet you there's another psychological component that's interfering, and that is, if I fix that, I will lose my motivation to fix everything else that's far worse. So I can see the reason for me putting off fixing that, and it's not a lack of focus. It's because I need that motivation to fix everything else. And once everything else is out of the way, then I can think about fixing that. Well, you know what? If I'm doing this circuit without cutting my penis, this penis leg circuit, what if in time, let's say 10 years, 15 years, let's say, I end up getting the same results I could have gotten had I done tugging? Because let me tell you, the amount of tugging I would have to do to get the results through current day knowledge and protocol of how to restore a foreskin not regenerated, simply more of same of the same skin from the shaft, would be to tug the penis. The amount of time I have to spend, the minuscule amount of time I am limited to spend because of the fact that my skin does not want to be tugged, it wants to be injured. Me, because it's too old to be tugged, because it's too old to even grow, tells me that I have to extrapolate that it would take me about 15 years at the rate that I'm going. And you know what? I bet you Robert Odebecker's technique that I'm now using will achieve the same result in the same amount of time with no effort. All I have to do when I lay down in bed at night, hook up my penis to the manhood cover hooked up to the negative lead, and lay my feet on the positive connection on the earthing bed pad, and have what I'm doing now to sleep at night to ground my head. While I sleep at night, I have to use a method whereby I can remain connected to the earth without having to worry about wires connected to my body. I mean, that I showed you in a prior episode is strictly for daytime use when I'm doing a full-scale body treatment. But if I'm sleeping at night, I have to deal with the minimum, and I can't have any wires. I mean, I have a wire to my penis running up between my legs. Okay, a coil cord. That's as much as I can tolerate. So for my head, what I've done is I've taken an earthing pillowcase, devoid of the pillow, because I can't sleep with pillows. I got a big bump in the back of my head. I was born with a big curvature. And so it displaces my neck as it is, and to add a pillow just makes things worse. So my whole life I've slept best without a pillow. So I take the pillow out of the pillowcase, and so I have an earthing pillowcase connected to my earthing enhancement, and hence to the ground rod outside. And so I can ground my head, and then have the circuit, my leg penis circuit, at the opposite end of my body, and so that they're separate from each other. So I was able to sleep last night, and I slept very nicely, and I sleep soundly because I have the circuit running constantly, this mild, you know, circuit, less than 100 nanoamps, whatever it is, I don't know, 100 megaohm resistor, creating an amperage that's less than 100 nanoamps, and somewhere around 120 to 135 millivolts. That circuit is enough to purify my bloodstream while I sleep at night to help me relax and help me sleep, to get rid of the pathogens that drive me nuts, that drive me full of anxiety. You know, it's non-stop party-goers who have crashed my house, my body, and run a non-stop party. And I'm what they're feasting on. So to diminish their population is quite a relief. And it's no wonder I had so much bliss, especially in the beginning, because I was being relieved. And the bliss was rushing in to take the place of all the suffering that I was constantly going through. Now I've just gotten used to the level of bliss that I've been able to boost due to the lack of the suffering. So my failure to experience bliss is really a failure to maintain the physiology in a pristine condition. And so whole body rejuvenation is really where it's at my age and in my stage of health, poor health. And so if I get a foreskin regenerated in 15, 20 years, whatever, then I'll count myself blessed, because that'll be the added advantage to everything else that was actually more crucial for me to resolve, and I didn't even realize it at the time that I set out to solve this problem of how do I restore a foreskin and take responsibility for being a nudist. Because socially, there's a lot of social pressure against public nudity, because we also encourage that social peer pressure against public nudity due to the fact that we allow circumcision to still run rampant in this country, the United States of America. And that's been one of the things fomenting and encouraging prudery to the degree that we have been practicing it. So as a socially conscientious, self-responsible individual, I've realized and had to accept in the last couple of years that I have to restore my foreskin to fix the problem of the public being against public nudity, one person at a time, starting with me. If I don't take responsibility, who is?
who will? And if I don't do it now, when? I just quoted a famous quote. I didn't make that up. Sorry. I think it's Hillel. I'm not sure. I'll say it's Hillel. Could be somebody else. A Jewish theologian. For what it's worth. If I am not for myself, who will be for me? And if not now, when? God, that's enough to make me cry. Oh, shit. So in time, without pushing it, without rushing it, a foreskin may come in due time. We shall see. I won't know. I'll just have to wait years and find out. Because it looks like that's the rate it's going to be. Really, really slow. If I made a wound, by recircumcising myself, I'd be able to accelerate the process, but I can't afford to put my attention there because I got too many other shit to deal with. All right? So I'm sorry to disappoint you guys. Gals, guys, whatever. I can't deliver on time or in any short period of time like I thought I was going to do. Instead, I'm doing all these other progressive accomplishments, which are mind-boggling in and of themselves. You know, they're actually, to me anyway, based on my values, it's mind-boggling. So that's why I'm getting all this bliss, because I'm learning to divest myself of pathogens in a way that's so innocent, so right, innocent, that I can do it and not even realize that I'm doing it except for the fact that I'm getting the benefit, displacing anxiety with bliss. And then I know now why I'm feeling those sensations in my body is because I'm getting rid of pathogens, at the very least. If I'm regenerating, I don't know that, because it's too soon to tell. It's been a matter of days that I've been starting this new procedure and getting these results. So, at the very least, I'm cleansing my body of pathogens in the easiest way imaginable, effortlessly. I mean, it's just, you know, how much effort is it to take to connect my penis to a manhood cover and snap on the coil cord if it's not already snapped? Now I just leave the manhood cover connected. I leave it in the bed, you know. I don't use it anywhere else, so why disconnect it from the coil cord? So I keep it connected to the coil cord, and I just take it off my penis and put it back on when I get back into bed. You know, how hard is that? I got the Velcro now all around it, so you know, it's not that hard. It takes very little effort to pay attention to it, and I get all these benefits. So I'm solving problems I didn't know I could be capable of solving. And it's being, and the solution is so innocent that it's beyond belief that I could come up with something that already was out there. I just had to assemble it from parts. Between Leon Ernest Eamon and Robert O. Becker, and Klimt Ober, and Marty Zukerin, Steven Sinatra, all those people, Colley and Lyman, all those people who've made their contributions that I've studied under their legacy and assembled the parts of their knowledge into one integrated whole. It's amazing. I've solved a problem that I've been born with, is a weak immune system. And now I have the conscientiousness, innocently, naturally, spontaneously, to eat in an intelligent manner, a manner I knew since the mid-1970s, I knew about food combining to help improve digestion if you have a weak digestion, keep meals simple. But I haven't had the backbone to do it. I've been eating complicated meals my whole life, even though I can't handle it. Simply out of habit, I guess. Everybody else does it, so I'll do it too. You know, but it's not right for me. Let me just tell you how bad I am at taking care of myself. When I used to do small jobs, I only did two of them. I hired myself out as an extra, you know, an extra actor, extra for commercials. They were infomercials. And one of them was the gal who was on Three's Company with John Ritter, Suzanne Summers. She did a infomercial on food combining as a methodology for keeping weight off. And she took weight off by going on a protein, low carb, high protein diet. Okay, and then she would do food combining to keep the weight off. Once she got to her target, then she would bring the carbs back in, but she would make sure she did not eat them at the same time as she ate, let's say, protein or oil. So she followed the same food combining that I learned back in the mid-1970s, but she was using it applied to weight management program. So she was such a big believer in it that she made an infomercial, and she hired, I don't know, let's say it was 100 extras to sit in the audience, and I was there in the audience. And so there I was on that set, yet I still could not implement the program. I just didn't have the consciousness. Why? Because I had a weak immune system, which allowed pathogens to take over my body and rule my life by giving me so much anxiety that I have no self-control. And this might be why people don't have self-control. Because those individuals that lack self-control probably are filled with so many toxins and pseudo-hormones being produced by pathogens that they can't focus. They can't commit themselves to improve their lives. And all they do is commit themselves to ruin their lives by negligence, at the very least, if nothing else. You know, not even considering self-abuse, just negligence alone, which is a form of self-abuse. So getting rid of pathogens from the body and the consequences of those pathogens, namely the toxins and the pseudo-hormones, because some of those pathogens are parasites that create hormone-like substances that are similar to our hormones to dictate terms to encourage us to behave in a way that's good for them. And this is something that through the millions of years of evolution they figured out how to do to get us to behave in a manner that's good for them. And, you know, whether it has to do with spreading themselves around the population, or maintaining their foothold inside the body, whatever it is, they've managed to figure out how to communicate with us by creating chemicals that are similar enough to our hormones that they fake us out into getting us to behave in ways, emotionally driven, in the ways that we can't understand why we are driven to behave the way we do. Well, now I'm changing my behaviors without having to even try, simply because I know it's right for me. I was trained, I was educated as an adolescent how to eat, and all my life until the age of 58, I have not been able to do it. I have not been able to simplify my meals to eat only one food group at a time and not complicate my meals so that I can at least digest the food and eliminate it, process it, absorb it with less effort. I have not had the fortitude, the backbone, to actually do it and simplify my meals according to each food group. I just couldn't do it. And now here I am doing it with no effort. As a consequence to trying to solve the problem of penile foreskin restoration and regeneration, actually, because the restoration wasn't working, tugging. So I thought, okay, let's try regeneration. Maybe that'll be better. And you know what? It is. I went after a bigger challenge, and I've managed to succeed to some degree in that I've solved other problems, most notably pathogens. So, and the psychosis of not taking care of oneself, being negligent. So it's amazing that the consequences of pursuing this line of research, what it's doing. It's improving my quality of life. And the only reason why you don't see me is because it's like 3 in the morning. I only got about 5 hours of sleep. I went to bed early last night. And so I woke up and I'm laying here, you know. And okay, what do I do? I'm getting ideas. And I thought, okay, I'm making plans. And so I thought I'd tape a session. So I'm taping myself in the dark because I don't want to bother turning the light on, and I have nothing to show you. I just have ideas to share and emotions to emote. I'm sharing. But there you are. It's a happy feeling because, you know, I've got other things to be depressed about, but at least this is one thing that's giving me results that I can be very happy and satisfied about. And so what better thing than to focus on that to help cheer me up than to talk into a camera instead of focusing on my other problems that I don't know what to do about. I'm doing the best I can, but I'm still, it still hurts. So, at any rate, in one area of my life I can be happy about that I've actually accomplished and overcome a problem that's congenital. It's been since birth, and I know why. It's because my parents were alcoholics and because they were fasting. They were starving. If they had been fasting, that would have been different, because they could not have been alcoholics. When you fast, you absorb, digest everything. Your body gets so efficient, you could probably live off of glue. But when you eat, you have to be mindful of what you eat. And in fact, especially so after a fast, because your body's going to feel like it's being screwed if you don't eat properly after a fast. I learned that the hard way. So when you're fasting, your body's very forgiving. But when you're eating, your body is not forgiving. And it's going to hate, it's not going to hate you, but it's going to give you results that you're going to regret if you don't eat properly. So they ate wrongly because they allowed their food to be spoiled. And because they were eating a refined diet, let's put it that way, of raw veganism in the 50s was called hygienic diet, hygienists. They ate a certain way, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, everything raw. But because my father bought everything in bulk and stored it in the garage, it fermented. And so they were alcoholics in the summertime, and with a depressed immune system, because that's what alcohol does, it depresses the immune system. By the time winter arrived, my mother got very sick every winter, more sick than the prior winter. And she miscarried the pregnancy before me, and the only reason why she gave birth to me was because the person who she was going to see for neonatal care talked some sense into her and said, "Hey, look, if you don't start eating something differently, you're at 6 months pregnancy. You're going to lose this one like you lost the last one." And so she changed her diet, and that's when she started to separate from my father. And by the time I was two, we separated from him, and within a year's time, he was dead. Probably of a broken heart is my guess estimate. But, and so I was raised under standard American diet, and I could never handle it, because I had too weak a system to handle it. My brother grew out of his problems of handling it as he got older. When he went through adolescence, he grew out of it, but I never did. So I've had these problems since birth, and I've never grown out of it, nor have I figured out how to deal with it properly. And now, at the age of 58, with a system that's, you know, like with one foot or one toe, let's say, one toe in the grave, literally. I have a part of me in the grave, let's put it that way. Now finally I've figured out how to cope and to accommodate myself having a system as weak as it is, an immune system and a digestive system. So I don't lack in brains, but I've had to be willing to acknowledge that I don't know everything, I'll never know everything. And so consequently, I can't afford to sit on my laurels and say, "Hey, look, you know, I'm an accomplished faster. I fasted a complete fast when I was an adolescent, something nobody does." A handful of people on this planet have ever done a complete fast and gotten away with it successfully. And I did. And so I sat on my laurels. I was so proud of myself, thinking all I have to do is be proud of myself that I fasted as a teenager, and I drank so much wheatgrass juice shortly afterwards. And, you know, it's not enough. What we do in the past, as time progresses, is never enough. We have to keep working at something, especially if it's something that we were born with that does not go away. And that's my case. So I at some point I realized I could no longer sit on my laurels and be proud of myself. I had to be disgusted and go back to studying what people were learning. And you know what? They were progressing along, and now they had more knowledge than what we had back in the 70s when I started studying health again. I realized that I had fallen out of the loop and progress had gone on without me. So it is worthwhile to be a student of this thing your whole life if it's a problem your whole life. And, you know, it is for me. So it's taken me this long to come around to learning these things by hook or by crook, you know. It's like it had to be fixing a foreskin problem in order to learn how to take care of my immune system and my digestive system. It's like the weirdest thing. It's a roundabout way to do it. Who would have thought, you know, how to solve that problem? Well, try and regenerate or restore your foreskin. Who would have known that that would have been the way to do it in a roundabout fashion? Because it gave me the right teachers to help me learn. And then I have to thank Marty Zucker for, you know, it's the funniest thing. He had to pay his mortgage, and he had to come out of retirement to write a book. And he asked me, what do you know about, you know, electricity and the earth? I know nothing, Marty. I was so embarrassed. Something I don't know. Big know-it-all. I knew nothing. So he's the one who taught me and got me started on this electromedicine branch of learning. Because I was clueless. My father didn't study this. No one did in the 50s. Nobody knew about this in the 1950s. So, I can just count myself blessed that I live at a time when people have studied this, and even though it's been trivialized, buried, shoved aside, the work of Robert O. Becker and Leon Ernest Eamon and whatnot, I'm a student of peculiar things. I'm willing to dig to find these things, so I benefit now, and it's to my advantage that I apply myself in isolation, living alone, that I'm able to focus on this problem and solve it. I have the karma to solve problems, but I just need the focus. Because if I get distracted, I won't be able to solve anything. So being alone, I'm able to focus all my karma, all my grace, on the problems at hand that I'm trying to solve. And I solve them. Because my karma is not getting wasted on anybody else, basically. So, yeah, I'm a flake for being able to support the idea of living with anybody at the moment, but I'm solving problems that have vexed me my whole life that no one has been able to solve. And here I am solving them myself, with the help of all these people, many of whom are dead. But a few are still alive, and those who are alive have been helpful as well. So, between a combination of dead people and living people, I've managed to create a composite of information, an integration of information, that together has solved a vexing problem of my physiology that I've had to put up with. You know, it's like being born without a limb, you know, being born without an arm, because that's literally what I am. I was born without an organ that fully functions, a liver, a pancreas, a spleen, I don't know, adrenal glands, kidneys. A multitude of organs in the physiology that are not functioning properly because they were the first to probably develop. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever the reason. Anywho. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself now, the liver has a lot of regenerative capacity, so it must be some other organs that are holding me back. And the liver is just a consequence, not a causative, but an effect. A problem that's an effect of other causes. So, you know, it could be something in the brain. You know, some section of the brain that has to do with coordinating the activity of the organs of the torso. I don't know. It could be any host of things. Maybe that's why I got that headache when I passed a mild current through my head. I don't have problems passing that current across my heart. And if anything, my heart should know. My heart, to me, is the most sensitive area of the body, more sensitive than the brain. And if I run these little circuits across my heart and I don't feel any adverse reaction, yet I get a headache running it across my brain, what the hell is going on? I don't know. So there must be something good happening if I pass that current across my brain. It's just a that sensation of a good response. So maybe in time I have a brain that has to be healed. You know? How do I know? What parts of my physiology are damaged? I don't know. All I know is, for a fact, is that I've been labeled as schizophrenic, even though I don't agree with the label. Actually, what I agree with is I'm a wimp. I don't have any backbone to face people head on. I've never been able to do that for as long as I can remember. And that's the true diagnosis of what I'm gifted with, if we can call it that. Gifted with that challenge. I'm challenged. But I also have a weak immune system and a weak digestive system. And I have a weak backbone, so to speak. I have no fortitude. I was able to fast as a teenager, but I spent all that fortitude, and so whatever it was that fast did, I must have weakened. And I may have weakened it permanently, in a sense, in terms of structural damage, which now, how do I heal it? Well, I have to regenerate it. How do I regenerate it? Well, we know how now. Silver ions, or silver colloid, you know, whatever, silver supplementation, and electrical supplementation of a very mild character of DC constant current. Those two factors can regenerate anything in physiology if the physiology is capable of regeneration at all. It just takes those two factors, mild DC current, continuous current, and silver, and nothing else is needed. So if I'm getting a headache, it might be a good thing, it's just not pleasant. So I'm not going to be able to work on my skull very much. But it may be an area I have to work on, eventually, in particular. Just not right now. Or not too frequently. Anyway, I think I've said enough.